Hey, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of the Strand Tennis Center podcast, filled with tips, advice, tennis, not tennis, just life advice, too, whatever you need. Like it on YouTube. Share it on the podcast as well. Thank you.
Welcome to the Strand Tennis Center podcast, everybody. I am your host. I'm Steve Capo. It is good to be here for our mental toughness series. I think we probably will have three parts, maybe four. Yeah, last week we went over, had a discussion of whether mental toughness is innate. We gave you a little bit of a toolkit. I'll review that. Let me review what we went over in regards to mental toughness first. I have it right here, which is very important. Learning, having a few tools. I think our overall gist was, you can learn mental toughness. I think some people are more innate with mental toughness and have the ability kind of to just be, maybe how they grew up, their environment, have an innate quality to be a little tougher, but doesn't mean you can't use some tools to help. And we went over seven things that were simply found on the internet. Mindfulness, right?
Mindfulness. Which was key. Mm-hmm.
How to control your reaction. Work with a professional. Keep a journal. Keeping a journal is key. Gets all your thoughts out. Helps you control those emotions. Practice self-compassion. Don't be too hard on yourself because it doesn't work. On the court there, if you beat yourself up, it does not work. Get out of your comfort zone, so try new things. The more you get out of your comfort zone, the more things you see on the court, the less likely you are to, freak out. Develop a daily routine. The more you develop a daily routine, the more confidence you have in doing that, the more confidence it creates. And you start to believe in yourself more. Rituals are like that, even on the court. Routines are like rituals. Rituals are routines before your serve, before your second serve. When you keep those rituals and routines, you stay focused. And the last one is keep your connection strong with people. So stay connected, whether it's your partner or whether it's your coach. Keep connections strong because it creates toughness. And it shows if you can keep a connection strong, it means you can deal with ups and downs and things like that. So those were the seven things that can help you with your toolkit. Now we're going to get into more specifics of mental toughness, how to deal with certain situations. So I consider this kind of three bigger topics and then inside that smaller. I wrote them down, Sundy. Can you believe it?
I believe it.
I have my clipboard.
It's good.
So number one is dealing with the opponent, obviously, okay. Mentally. Number two is dealing with a partner,
okay.
Doubles. Number three is dealing with the elements, which just happens.
Yep.
So those are three things that can mess with you mentally. And inside each of those, we'll go into probably six or seven points that hopefully, and again, go to Strand Tennis, at Strand Tennis, Instagram us, and if we miss something, if you had an experience in doubles or had something happen that you need help with, whether it be your partner or your elements, you didn't know how to handle it, reach out to us. Even reach out to us at steve@strandtc.com. That's my email. Just email me a question and say, hey, I needed to deal with this. I couldn't figure out what to do. So I'm going to go over some of these parameters that hopefully will help. Dealing with the opponent. So there's, to me, and again, please email if there's other opponents. I have four kinds of opponents to me.
Okay.
Number one is the cheating opponent.
Oh. Those guys.
Okay. Number two is the argumentative opponent.
Okay.
Or the challenging opponent that challenges you on everything.
Yep.
Number three is just the classless opponent. And number four, which is coming out of left field, is the overall overwhelming complimentary opponent.
What does that mean?
We'll go to that. You want to go to that one first? I think I got that one last.
Okay.
So, number one... mental toughness, how do you deal with a cheating opponent? I'll let Santi try to answer first, and I'll give you some feedback. In your experience, Santi, how have you dealt with a cheating opponent?
If you're cheating and it's like an official match in high school or whatever, you got to get your coach over there or the other team's coach as well and, make it known that, hey, I don't think this guy's had some good line calls, and just have the coaches there to watch to make sure that everything is honest and true. If it's like a UTR match, something on a smaller scale, then get the person that is running the program to watch, a couple points, And usually the other player that is so in quote cheating, you know, they'll either stop or they'll get a little scared because they don't want to have to forfeit the match with all their errors.
Okay. So all good things. I think dealing with it mentally in a mental perspective like we're talking about, number one, usually mentally the problems arise when we don't take control right away or take action. So yeah. Mentally we feel this person's cheating. We don't really do anything about it. And it throws us for a loop because we don't feel confidence in playing because we're like, well, anytime a point gets close, he's going to cheat. And mentally, it starts to take you off your game, and you're more likely to kind of give up and quit on this because this person is just a cheater. So where the mental part comes in is the action part. As soon as you suspect something happening, just simply, in other words, it's always, are you sure first? If you see it happen twice, call a line judge, call your coach over, call anybody that's refereeing the match, say, listen, I could use a line judge. Don't be embarrassed by it.
Yep.
Because what will happen is the cheater's a great thing. He'll get really defensive.
Yep.
You know, the more defensive you get, the more likely you are cheating. He will get defensive to try to make you feel bad about calling a line judge. It happens a lot. Well, they'll try to make you feel terrible about it. And what will happen in the nuance of that, you end up losing a game or two and giving it away because you just need to, you feel bad, number one. If the person makes you feel guilty about it, you lose your focus. Even when you can call a line judge, you could lose one or two games because you just kind of, that person riles you up. They get upset at you. You can't keep it together. You're still thinking about it. The person that can manage that situation the best, and what you have to do is take time. Again, do a simple breathing technique. You could do a box breathing techniques, where they talk about it all the time. You can breathe in four times, hold for four, release for four, hold for four. Mm-hmm. That will calm you down very quickly. Breathing is a great way to calm down in those situations. So, and this can be, boy, you could use breathing for all of these situations, but especially when someone's cheating, or the number two, when someone's argumentative, you need to control your breath. That will control basically your nervous system and keep you calm. So try a box breathing technique. Four in, hold for four, release for four, hold for four. That'll calm you down. So that's the best way to deal with a cheater. Like, you know, other days you can... You don't want to go through it, but you then call a close call out too. But you don't want to go there because what happens is it gets you off your game as well. Some people say cheat them right back. But the problem is that actually gets you off your game. You don't stay focused. You take someone independently. You take yourself out of that situation. Your job is to play and not worry about line calls. So you have an independent person take care of it. The other person is the argumentative person. And the argumentative person is the person that won't call the line judge, that will argue over every call with you, but they won't call the line judge because they want to rile you up. So that is a hard situation to deal with. They are trying to get under your skin. They're trying to get you to argue. Whether they're playing bad or whether they're just distrustful. In that situation, you have to simply say, you have to stay as calm as you can. You either say, hey, you want to call a line judge? It's fine. Or I'm sticking with my call.
Yeah.
You know, and what you have to try to do is not get caught up in looking at that partner, at that opponent. Don't get caught up looking at them. Don't make any eye contact because they're dying to argue with you.
Yeah.
As much as you can, you stick to your rituals. You stick to your thing. You stick to your routines. Because you look over on the other side, it's opening up the door for that person to argue. Don't even make eye contact with the person. Don't even look up on the return until they start to serve. It's a big key to avoid any type of confrontation with that person because they want to suck you in.
Yep.
Now, there's the classless person. Now, the classless person is the one, you know these ones, that hit a winner and they scream and yell and they try to fist you right in the face, you know, give you the fist right in the face. That is the classless person that's trying to just get under your skin. All of these
things. Psych you out.
What?
Psych you out a little.
Yeah, they're trying to psych you out.
Yep.
They have just no class at all. They hit one winner, or you make an error and they pump their fist.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I've seen too many times when you make an error and someone pumps their fist and you react and say that's not fair. You cannot react. The overall thing, which is the number one tip that of the seven, is mindfulness. You have to control your reaction. All of these things are how you control them. So you'll get someone that'll pump their fist. All you do is you turn your back, you put your racket in your non-dominant hand, you shake it out, you walk tall, you walk back to the curtain. You always just turn your back.
Yep.
Take the racket out of the non-dominant hand, shake your hitting hand out, and you breathe. And if you need to, look down at the strings after that. After that, you look down at the strings, focus on the string. Don't let your vision travel all over the place in those situations. If you let your vision travel, your mind travels. So keep your eyes focused on one fixed point, whether it be on the strings or just looking at the back curtain or the back fence, and not having your eyes scan all over the place. And then you simply play your point. If you win your point, don't change your reaction. If you if you're a person that pumps your fist, you pump your fist. But you turn your back and you pump your fist. You don't have to then, if you pump your fist and put it in his face, you're feeding into it and you're getting out of your game. Yeah. Stick to your game. If you're a fist pumper, you're a fist pumper, you do it. I used to pump my fist, but I wouldn't do it in their face. I turned my back and go, let's go, let's go, let's go. So like those are the four specifics you have to deal with in regards to the opponent. Now, sometimes it's harder with your own partner. So the partner has got a lot of different things. There's six here. There could be 26. Who knows?
Okay.
So dealing with the negative partner. Santi knows he's negative, but he doesn't show it. Only at work. There's the bossy partner.
Oh, yeah. Those are.
There's the coaching partner. There is the positive to a fault partner, just too much positivity. There is the best friend's partner. And there's the emotional roller coaster partner.
Okay.
So we'll go through all of those. Oh, wait a minute. We didn't do the best one of the opponents, the overly complimentary. Oh, my God. Okay. I went right over it, Santi, of the opponents. Okay. So there's the fourth one is the overly complimentary opponent.
Yeah.
So this was in a book, too, The Inner Game of Tennis, which is a great book, but it's part of it. You'll get an opponent that gives you tons of compliments, and you think they're being nice to you. And what do you think they're trying to do?
Trying to make you, I don't know, like self-doubt yourself in a way, or like.
So if I said to you,
maybe
you know,
being
the way you hit that forehand is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Tennis is about instincts and not thinking.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen when I tell you you're hitting a great forehand? You're going to think about that forehand.
Yeah.
And it's going to go into your head and
you
not into your muscle.
Yeah.
It's a mental warfare thing. When you compliment someone, you're actually messing with them mentally. So you need to not even talk to that person. Let them say, well, the changeover, whatever. People don't rarely talk in tournaments, but in matches it's happened. Local guard state matches, things like that, UTRs, they will say something. That compliment is poison. You don't want to hear that compliment. And if they compliment you once, go the other way on the changeover. Avoid that person. Don't let them speak to you. Because the compliment goes to your head. You just need the feeling of what you're hitting like.
Yeah.
You don't need to know the process of the hitting because it gets too technical and it gets too in your head.
That makes sense. You know?
And somebody will even say, oh, my God, your backswing is great. Then you start to think about your backswing and you miss the next four.
Yep.
So beware of the complimentary person. Avoid them at all costs. Do not even talk to them. Don't even say, hey, don't even give them a compliment. You want to give them a compliment, just wave your racket or just say nice shot like that. So I almost missed the best part. That happens a lot. People get fooled. So back to your dealing with your partner. So you have a negative partner. Look, there's always a fine line. I mean, there is a negative. I mean, you have to be positive with that partner. But what does positivity entail? How do you need to be positive? So if somebody's just saying, I'm terrible, I can't play, I'm no good, this is awful, you need to tell the person what they need to do and not reinforce what they're doing wrong, saying, it's just how you phrase it. If you say, listen, you're going to stop missing that forehand, don't worry, that's not helping. Just say, hey, aim higher, you can do this, aim higher. Give them something small and specific that is in the positive that will help them.
Okay.
Because if you're close enough to your partner, they'll take the advice if they're beating themselves up.
Yeah.
And if they ask you for the advice, if they're beating themselves up, give them something that they need to do, not something that they're doing wrong. It's always got to say in the positive. Because, again, if I'm teaching on any level, if I say, you know, you're dropping your head on this overhead, man, they will continue to drop their head.
Yeah.
Say, keep your head up.
Yeah.
The bossy partner. So how do you deal with a partner that is saying, hey, listen, these are both pretty much the same, bossing and coaching. But bossy means, you know, don't poach. You're doing that wrong. Stay back.
Yeah.
Well, what are you doing? Don't serve to there. Don't serve to there. So this is a great microcosm of life. You need to create boundaries for yourself with the bossy partner. You have to.
Yeah.
The bossy and coaching partner are very similar. You have to create boundaries. You got to say, listen, this is my game. I know my game. I know what I'm doing. There'll be people that are great volleyers, but the partner says, stay back.
Yeah.
They have their own insecurities as well. And you can't allow those insecurities to affect your game and say, listen, I can come forward. I know what I'm doing. I can cross. Or I can stay back. Or my second serve is good. Or I don't have to go back on your second. Any type of strategy, you've got to create boundaries and tell that partner right away, this is who I am. It's very much like a relationship. Where imagine you're dating someone and someone says, you know, you do this, you do that. It makes me uncomfortable. But at one point, the person has got to be secure in themselves to know that what you're doing, they trust. So to know if you come to the net, they trust you to do it. So create boundaries and say, one of our members said, like narcissism. Be narcissistic. Think about yourself on that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I understand. Because if you don't, you're going to end up, this is what's going to happen. If you listen to the person and you lose the match, you're going to kick yourself and go, I listened to this person, we lost the match anyway, and they're still going to yell at me.
Yeah.
Live and die on your own sword, make your decision and say, this is who I am, this is what I'm going to, you want to win and lose with your best game. You don't want to do something you're not comfortable with. You tell that person, this is my best game, this is what I can do. So, there's also the partner that is too positive, that won't shut up, that will constantly talk to you all the time. And it's not coaching. It's just emotional stuff. It's too much. And this is where boundaries come in as well. All these three, bossy, coaching, positive, be covered by your boundaries. And say, listen, I appreciate it. Thank you. But let's just play a few points without talking. Let's just try it. Just give them a test. Say, let's play about 5 points without talking and see if it helps.
Yeah.
Always do a test. You can do with anything. You say, we can do a test for 5 points. You're not going to lose a match in 5 points, even one game. So these are all mental things because it will mess with your head. This is why we're going over this. This mental part is very specific. You need those tools that we discussed in the beginning to deal with all of these situations. Mm-hmm. Now, best friends. Your best friend, your partner's your best friend. Where could that be a problem, Santi?
If you don't do well, maybe, you know, you won't be as friendly towards each other later on. Or, you know.
Well, if you're too close to somebody, like we discussed earlier, and you're not talking and you're fighting over something else, and then you have to play a match, it's a hard dynamic. So the best way to play with your best friend is to compartmentalize. So you could say, you know, your best friend is dating the person you liked, or your best friend is not talking to you this week. Something happened that has nothing to do with it in between the lines. You've got to be a professional.
Yeah.
So you've got to compartmentalize, and that's over-communicate. Tell your partner, tell your best friend. It's hard.
Yeah.
Listen, regardless of what happens off the court, we're a good team together. Let's not bring it on the court.
Right.
And one of our coaches just said, she would have a fight with her best friend, and actually, the match would help. The match would get them to talk again. They would play. They usually won when they weren't talking, which is ironic, and then they would talk afterwards. It would help them.
That's
so
good.
It would force them to come together. That's why the tennis is the great arbiter, the great divorce lawyer that keeps you together, the great therapist. So if you're arguing with your best friend or your spouse, why don't you go play some tennis? It'll bring you back together. Especially if you win the match. You'll be very happy.
Go.
So just be careful with best friends. Set the boundaries, because there's a lot of college kids. And just in leagues, you become very close friends. You cannot blend those lines together. So over-communicate. Say right away, listen, we're, you know, on the court is on the court. Off the court is totally different. You got to set boundaries there, too. Okay, the sixth one is kind of a little bit of everything, but it's the manic partner, the emotional roller coaster partner. The one who's wins three games, loses four games, five double faults, then five aces is all over the place. How do you think you deal with the emotional roller coaster, something?
Oh, man. I don't know if I've ever experienced anyone like that, and I don't think I would want to. That sounds very intense.
When you deal with the emotional roller coaster, you need to tell them that that's who they are so they don't freak out. So, in other words, you can start the match and say, hey, look, you're going to mess up three or four games.
Yeah.
But realize, we're going to end up probably winning the match. So the key is not to have the trough too deep and say, look, you've been through this before. How many times? You blow the first two games all the time.
Yeah.
But we end up winning the match. Just don't get to the point where the trough stays so deep and you lose it. You've been here before. Understand it. Tell him. And don't feed into it when he's losing it. Say, been here, done that, been here, done that. And when he's hitting great shots, don't get too excited. Don't get too happy. Because usually the emotional roller coaster partner will get so happy when they're playing well. And they're like, oh, he's coming for a big crash here.
Yeah.
So just let them be aware of their personality.
Yeah,
and
that
say,
makes
listen,
sense.
Don't get too high when you hit four aces in a row. Because you're going to have three double faults the next game.
Yeah.
So just let that person be aware of that situation.
Okay.
Okay? All right. So we've been through the opponent. We've been through the partner. Now we're going to go through the elements. Four elements. Wind, sun, cold, heat. The overall vibe with all of these mentally is we tend to lose it mentally because we think all these elements are only happening to us. You see people come off a match and go, oh, the sun, the wind, duh, this, duh. And then and I said, wait a second, this person across from you won this
it's
match, and they were dealing with the same thing.
Yeah.
You have to realize the weather's the same on both sides. The wind could be different. The sun could be different. But you're switching sides. So you're dealing with the same elements 50% of the time. Once you realize that they're dealing with it too and they're struggling with it too, you can start to calm down and be able to deal with what you're in. This is what you're in. Elements is about acceptance, accepting that this is the way it is. You can't go, oh, I wish it wasn't raining.
Yeah.
Because it rains on clay and you can play. Oh, I wish the sun wasn't so high in the sky. I wish it wasn't so hot. I wish the wind is usually the biggest problem. I wish it wasn't so windy. Once you accept those elements, your mind can then go to work and play the match. The problem is we don't accept that situation.
Okay.
So, some specifics. Dealing with the wind. If I'm dealing with the wind in my face, I need to hit through the ball more.
Right.
If I'm dealing with the wind in my back, I have to have a little bit more topspin because the ball is going to take off.
It's going to fly more.
Now, the hardest part is that side wind that comes in from left to right. Very difficult. You just got to understand where the wind is blowing, and that bounce that hits is probably going to end up 2 feet
a little
out the other way.
Yeah,
you're going to have to adjust your feet accordingly. You can't go where you normally think the bounce is going to release to. Be aware of that side wind. That's the hardest part, and adjust 1 to 2 feet accordingly. You'll be able to figure out the wind pretty quickly. Rarely, I mean, the wind does change a bit, but it kind of will stay a constant direction through the entirety of a match. The sun. Sun's tough. I used to practice serving into the sun and putting my tossing hand up into the sun so it would block it. Right. I try to flip my hand and block the sun.
As you're tossing?
As I was tossing.
Oh.
So it would block the sun if there was a sun so high in the sky that I couldn't do anything. If the sun is a little bit left or right, I try to toss a little lower. So that way, I don't go directly into the sun. If it's right over me, I toss a little bit left, a little bit right. You're going to have to adjust your toss to the sun. You can block it, number one. You can adjust left or right or height-wise. Yeah, the cold is not usually a problem because you warm up.
Right.
But the cold can be a problem on changes and things like that. And being warm and ready to go. The problem is when it's cold, they don't get warmed up and they give away three or four games. So that's the biggest thing is how you start in the cold. If you can start in the cold and win three or four games off the top, that's a big deal. So when you start in the cold, I would say jumping jacks. I would say jump rope. I would say, you know, medicine ball throws, a good 5 to 10 minute warm up. You want to get a sweat. You want to warm up, you know. You want to have a sweat going when you're playing in 50-degree weather because you need to start out fast.
Yeah.
And then the heat, it's obvious. Lots of ice.
Yeah.
Lots of fluids. You've got to. There's nothing else you can do about that. You've just got to. I mean, you know, the ice towels are using now, all of those things.
Yeah.
The more hydrated you are, and the best way to stay hydrated is not during the match, which you should, but it's before. The night before. So if you know it's going to be hot, drink a lot of water the night before. It will really hydrate you. So I hope we get some – I hope this helps. And I hope – and if anybody – if we missed anything, if we missed any element, if you had a problem and I didn't answer it, email us at steve@strandtc or on Instagram. Give us a direct message at Strand Tennis to just say, hey, this was a problem that happened. Can you help me with this? We're on TikTok. We're on everything. And maybe I missed one. Is there anything I missed, Santi? You think any situation that you had happen that you would have loved some incredible advice?
Or just not really, no.
Okay.
Not really.
But I think the overall thing is controlling your reactions. A lot of these can be helped by how you react. You know, there's a great book by Robert Greene, right? Some people say, you know, it's you know, you could be a sociopath. If you take it, the 48 Laws of Power are great as well. If you read that book, it helps you understand people, understand control, understand nuances, understand when to do things and when to not. That's a great mental book as well. So we're going to continue. We're going to have one more series. And then we'll have Sergey in.
Oh,
Sergey
awesome.
Brylin, the Devils' assistant coach, who won, again, 3 Stanley Cups. He will talk about mental toughness. That will be the topic. Because, again, like I said, he's probably one of the toughest people I've ever met. But I hope this helps. Use it. If you have any questions, again, email us, steve@strandtc, or direct message us at Strand Tennis. Thank you, guys. The answers and the actions. Good luck.
Hey, everybody. Hope you like the podcast. Please share it with your friends, anybody that you know, anybody that's into tennis, anybody that's into bettering themselves. Share it.